Chapter 20. When Eleanor reflected upon what Lucy had told her, she could no longer doubt the truth of the story. At first she felt angry at Edward's ill-treatment of her, and indignant that she had been fooled by him. However, other considerations soon arose. Had Edward been intentionally deceiving her? Did he really love Lucy and not her? No, she could not believe that was true. He could never be satisfied with a wife like Lucy. Illiterate, artful, and selfish. As a young man 4 years ago, he had no doubt been blinded by her beauty. But by now, time must have opened his eyes to her defects. No wonder he was so melancholy. He had promised himself to a woman he could not love. When Eleanor considered this, she wept more for Edward than for herself. Although she had suffered from her conversation with Lucy, Eleanor soon felt a wish to gain more information from her, to know what Lucy really felt for Edward. She felt that Lucy was probably jealous of her, and that she had good reason for her jealousy. When she had a chance to be alone with Lucy, she raised the subject again. "Thank you for breaking the ice," cried Lucy. "I was afraid I had offended you by what I told you on Monday." "Not at all. How could you suppose so?" asked Eleanor with the truest sincerity. "There seemed to be a coldness and displeasure in your manner. I felt sure that you were angry with me, but I'm glad to find that it was only my own fancy." "I can believe it was a relief for you to reveal your secret, and I can assure you it is safe with me. Your situation is a very difficult one," continued Eleanor. "Edward has only £2,000 of his own. He could be rich if he married to please his mother, but I could never be grand enough for her. She is such a proud woman. If Edward married me, she would no doubt be so angry that she would give all her fortune to Robert. It is too extreme to wait for Mrs. Ferrars' death. That may be many years away. I do have a scheme, however, and perhaps you can help me. I believe Edward would prefer the church to every other profession. If he became a clergyman, he could earn enough to marry. I was hoping that your brother might be persuaded to find him a position at Norland. Surely my helpers are necessary, since my brother is married to Edward's sister." "That must be recommendation enough," replied Eleanor. "But Mrs. John Dashwood is like her mother. She would not approve of Edward becoming a clergyman." "Then I suspect I would be unable to help you," said Eleanor. They were silent for several minutes. Then Lucy exclaimed with a deep sigh, "I believe it would be wisest to end the engagement. The whole situation is so difficult. Won't you give me your advice, Miss Dashwood?" "No, on such a subject, I certainly will not. You know very well that my opinion could not influence you," replied Eleanor. "You wrong me," said Lucy, annoyed. "I know nobody of whose judgment I think so highly as I do of yours." Eleanor, however, did not believe in Lucy's sincerity, and afterwards tried to avoid discussing Edward with her ever again. Chapter 21. Mrs. Jennings had a house in London, where she spent every winter. One day, at the beginning of January, she quite unexpectedly asked Eleanor and Marianne to accompany her there. Eleanor immediately gave a grateful but absolute refusal, since she was resolved not to leave her mother. "I am sure your mother could spare you," said Mrs. Jennings, "and you will be no inconvenience to me." "I have a notion," said Sir John, "that Miss Marianne would welcome the chance to go to town, where she could meet Mr. Willoughby again, if only her sister would agree to such a scheme." "I am delighted with the plan," said Mrs. Dashwood, when she heard about the invitation. "It is very right that you should go to town. Every young woman should be acquainted with the manners and amusements of London." Marianne's joy was almost beyond happiness. She was impatient to be gone, and the party left for London the first week in January.